This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. The U.S. has already technically hit the congressionally imposed debt ceiling, with the government now set to actually run out of its ability to pay bills in late spring. While the debt ceiling is about paying for what both Democrats and Republicans already authorized, some Republicans in the House are looking for new limits on future spending. Today, let's talk to Stanford economics professor Michael Boskin, who's written on the perils of too much government debt and spending. He also served as the head of President George H.W. Bush's Council of Economic Advisors. Professor Boskin, good to talk again.
My pleasure, David.
You're an economist, and I assume you're also a taxpayer. When you worry about too much government spending through borrowing, is that just the taxpayer in you worried, or is the economist in you also worried?
Well, it's the economist. There's a lot of evidence that when debt gets too high, it can be a drag on growth. Because the economy is always subject to booms and busts, there's some automatic changes in the budget position. Tax revenues go up more than income because of the progressive income tax when we have a boom, and they fall more when we have a bust. So those are called automatic stabilizers, and they're actually good for the economy. They prevent a recession from being worse or a boom generating even more inflation than it might. But then there are discretionary spending, and that I think most economists would agree was a, not the only, but a prime culprit in the surge of inflation.
Yeah, that it can be inflationary when we are borrowing so much to spend so much.
What are the reasons to be concerned? One is intergenerational equity. If growth is going to be slower than it has in the past, that's going to mean that future generations aren't going to be that much richer than we are. And the double whammy of then giving them a bigger burden of the debt would be unfair to them, unless the debt was incurred for something really important that benefited them.
You know, it's a question of where you stand on this stuff. It may be that just a social program that helps lift up a family's chances of succeeding so that they can pass on wealth to their children. That might not be a waste either. It depends who's talking and who's benefiting and who's losing.
Well, there certainly are distributional issues here. Some of those programs may be desirable, but most of the money is financing current consumption. So some people believe, and I think the evidence suggests, that some part of the labor force that hasn't returned yet is driven by that. If it was really human capital development, for example, children, as they get to working age, a better education gets them onto the economic ladder or moving up, that's the aspirational goal. There's a bigger issue of, do the programs actually achieve that? But certainly human capital investment is an important part of the growth of the economy.
Yeah, I suppose I should ask before we go. I mean, you are a fiscal conservative, yet it's hard to see either political party as the champions of fiscal conservatism these days, the current fight in the House over the debt ceiling notwithstanding. A lot of spending from lots of people these days.
I think that's correct. If you look at various administrations, President Obama ran the largest deficits of any president since World War II until President Trump. And now President Biden's been doing it. So there seems to have been something of a sea change, part of it obviously brought on by a legitimate concern and uncertainty about how long lasting and how deep the COVID recession would be. So, you know, I would cut them a little bit of slack in the early days of that. But once it was pretty clear things were turning around, the economy's getting close to full employment, throwing additional deficit finance spending on top of that got to a point where it's irresponsible. And we, especially lower income people, are paying a pretty high price because of the extra inflation.
And what about using the debt ceiling as a tool to force people to focus on some of these issues?
In my time in Washington, and as I've observed it since, it works to deadlines. It works to pressure points where you have to get something done. So I think in the past, there have been some constructive uses of the debt ceiling debate to kind of push some additional or new rules and changes that may help control spending in the future. That's a good thing, even if unlovely in how it was done. So would I prefer a world where things were done in regular order and there was good discipline that spending actually was likely to achieve its results and not be excessive or wasteful? That, of course, we should all aspire to. But in the real world, that hasn't been happening lately and for many years across different administrations. And in that sense, I have some sympathy for trying not to hold it up and risk default, if we're trying to use the need to pass something to at least start the process of controlling the growth of spending over time.
Michael Boskin is a professor of economics at Stanford. Many will remember he was chair of the first President Bush's Council of Economic Advisors. Dr. Boskin, thank you very much.
You're welcome, David. Good to be with you.